Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Some kids have and some kids don't. Some of us are wondering why.
Billadova. The Wolf Bill.
And Mom won't watch the news at night. There's too much stuff that's making her cry.
Duke in a toilet.
We need
my bracket's help. Busted. Though on the radio station bracket.
Yeah.
I'm doing okay.
Are you?
But I can't win because Duke is out.
I think I picked Villanova.
Yeah, I got Villanova going against North Carolina in the finals.
I believe I'd pick Kansas.
Oh, Rock Chalk. Rock Chalk's in a good spot.
What a shock that is. What a shock that is.
Rock Chalk's in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
For real, yep. I had no idea, because like I said, I'm not paying near as much attention to college basketball over the last few years, and I realize Missouri and St. Louis U's issues have contributed to that, but I just think overall, the one and done's contribute. Like last night, Jason Tatum's off the wall. That's the end of his Duke career. That'll do it.
Yeah.
Very well be the number one pick.
I kept waiting for him to kind of take control of that game, but it never really happened. He had a couple of three-point bombs there. But
as I was getting ready to note, I thought it was just, I mean, I thought it was wrong that South Carolina gets a game that's 100 miles from their campus as a 7 seed. I know that it probably won't pick up any steam as to, because it's like, you know, Duke is... You know, team people love to hate, but it wouldn't matter. I have no allegiance to Duke. I don't care one way or the other. It's just, to me, it strikes me as a wrong. I had no idea until I was watching the game where that thing was. It was in Greenville, South Carolina, which is 100 miles from Columbia, South Carolina. So as noted in reading a couple columns, it was essentially a home game for South Carolina. They had, you know, thousands of their fans there. And, you know, North Carolina and Arkansas played before. Plenty of Carolina fans. That's going to happen. But the South Carolina as a 7 seed, And you know why that happened? Was because they moved it from Greensboro because the NCAA protest
of course. The
transgender law and the governor who's no longer in office. But, you know, and that, of course, will get people. That'll be the bright, shiny object. But why not put South Carolina in a different region? And if everything's going to be about just getting the most attendance, then the integrity of the competition is really sacrificed. At what point, at what seed do you take somebody out of what is a home game? And I would suggest that home court, home field, home ice, whatever one, is more important in college basketball than any other sport. And South Carolina had it. And I don't, if this would have been Kansas and they would have been playing South Carolina, I mean, it's got nothing to do with the team. It's the principle of it. And I'm stunned by that. I'm legitimately stunned by that. As somebody was pointing out, one of the columns I read about it, Michigan as a 7 could have been the 7 in that region. You know, much less things such as, Doug, what you were pointing out last week, Wichita State being a 10. Greg Marshall was all over that. Said Dayton shouldn't have been a 7. They got screwed. I mean, you look at teams like Minnesota, for example, was sitting there as a 5. I don't know. I got a problem with that. Because I think home court advantage means so much in college basketball. And if you give a team that's a 7 seed close to its campus, that's just, to me, that's wrong.
I agree with you 100%, but I think there'll be people that will tell you that it didn't matter because unless the Duke fans are there, whoever is there is not a Duke fan, they're going to root against Duke. Even if you have no rooting interest in either team, people are going to root against Duke. So you don't know how many South Carolina fans were there or just people who don't like Duke.
Well, there were a lot of South Carolina fans there if you saw the post game, and that would not have been the case if they were playing in the East region, for example. I don't know if they were in the East region, whatever, one of the other regions outside of the one where they're getting to play a home court game. Just odd to me. I'm surprised by that, but whatever. Hey, Ben Fredrickson's with us here on the program. The Redbird Report is brought to you by Dirt Cheap. Gear up for basketball madness. Download the new Dirt Cheap app and get a free can koozie. Good morning, Ben Fred.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Oh, we're fine.
Hi, Ben, Fred.
There's a water main break at the reporter's real estate office in Jupiter. Is that accurate? I got intel. Yeah. Doug, I got intel.
Yeah, there's a. Mm-hmm. It's been repaired. It was repaired in a timely fashion, so that is to be commended. But the problem is that there's some fans that are rather loud that run. I think they have to run nonstop, you know, to keep things dry there. So, you know, it's just another obstacle. As you guys know, spring training comes with adversity for the players and media members alike.
Hmm. Did I see on social media you got engaged this weekend?
Yes, I did last weekend before I headed down to spring training.
Huh.
So yeah, that was that.
Congratulations, yo!
Left town for 2 weeks. Thank you.
Yeah, congrats. When's the date? Have you set a date yet?
We have not. Yeah, we kind of decided we would get engaged, and then as soon as I get back from spring training, we'll iron all those details out. Shortly after, I sent out a nice photo, which I thought was, you know, pleasant. To alert people, hey, this happened. She said yes, and it was quickly photoshopped into an embarrassing photo of me of when I was 16 years old and had an embarrassing mohawk.
So I believe I saw that. Yeah.
JJ Bailey for that.
Hmm.
Well, are you going to have the wedding live on this radio show? I think that's what the people want.
Yeah, there has been talk of that, Ben.
Would Larry be able to, and Iggy be able to, like, do the play by play of that? Because if so, I might consider it.
Yeah. Larry is an ordained minister.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, but I'm sure we could knock it out real quick if you needed us to. Michael Wacha gets the final rotation spot based on how he performed, and also John Mozeliak saying about a month ago that that's what they anticipated. But Mike Matheny confirming it yesterday. What was the reaction around the ball yard?
I think it pretty much everybody. I mean, it's always news when Matheny says, "Yeah, that's the way we're." We're looking at it going right now, but I think it wasn't certainly not a surprise to anyone. Michael has been he's been on point this spring. I think he's going to get ribbed a little bit for giving up the single to Tim Tebow his last time out. I'm sure his teammates will let him hear a lot about that as spring wraps up here. But he's been good. I mean, he showed everything he needed to show. The question with Michael is, as you guys know, it's not so much. You know, we know that when he's healthy, he is you know, an all-star caliber pitcher. It's just how much can he pitch. And when and if this shoulder issue will start to bother him. Now, he revamped his off-season training. He built up the muscles around that. So hopefully this stress issue in his shoulder will not affect him as much. But really, the Cardinals they can't say they know it won't, and neither can he. So all he can do is try to go out there and pitch to the best of his ability every day. And right now, he's pitched like a guy who deserves to be in the rotation. So how much can they use him? How much will he hold up? Will they be able to rely on him late in the season? These are all questions that are going to be surrounding him until you know, he shows that he can do it. I think they'll probably try to be a little bit smarter about how they use him. If they see opportunities to get him out, whether it's a big lead or whether they're down a lot, I don't think they're going to try to find pitches he doesn't need. But they have to be able to trust him. And right now he's showing that he's earned that. It's just a matter of how long can he do it.
Wacha in the rotation didn't surprise anyone, but Matt Adams taking balls in the outfield did surprise some people. Obviously, he's having a great spring, just hit his fourth home run. Obviously, the weight loss didn't impact his power at all. How do you see things shaking out for Matt Adams? It's becoming clear that he should be on this team, let alone he's just maybe their best pinch hitter or one of them.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a great point Jimmy had about the power, you know, because I think when the guy says he loses 30 pounds and he's supposed to be a home run hitter like Adams, you go, well, how are you going to be able to do, you know, the thing you're most known for? And he's shown that he can still do that. He also stole a base in yesterday's game, which was, I think he only had four in his career, which it's the first time he's stolen a base and hit a homer in a game since 2014. So that was that was interesting. He told us he didn't have the green light yesterday, but then he went out and swiped one. I think with Adams, I mean, I guess you know it's a slow spring training a little bit if people are losing their minds about Matt Adams shagging balls in left field. But Matheny has said that, you know, because of his mobility due to dropping this weight, and he has looked comfortable out there kind of just, you know, shagging flat balls. So they went to him and said, hey, you know, we like your bat, obviously. If we're looking for ways to get it into the lineup, maybe for a matchup or just a day here and there, would you be interested in trying to maybe, you know, sit in on some outfield meetings and see if you might be able to spend some time out there? And he said yes. You know, he wants to be playing any way he can. So it starts with shagging fly balls and listening, and then occasionally, you know, they'll throw him in some drills. They would have to work up his arm. They can't just throw him out there and expect him to be able to throw balls in from the outfield without kind of working him up for that. But Matheny said recently that he wants to see him in some games out there. We'll see if that happens. But I don't think this will be a, you know, Matt Adams starting left fielder kind of thing. I think it will just be something you see in a pinch, or something you see if you really want to get him in because they like the matchup against the pitcher, or if he has a hot bat. Because we've seen that, you know, when he's on, he can be one of their most threatening hitters.
Would be a big step for him to be able to do that, because, you know, playing time at first base is going to be few and far between with Carpenter there.
He knows, yeah, and Matt knows that, you know. So Carpenter's back now from the tight lower back that kind of slowed down his spring, and that's kind of something that I tried to write about earlier this when I got down here. Is, you know, Carpenter has handled this back issue. It has been un-Carpenter-like, and that's a good thing. I mean, he took it to the team and said, "Look, something's not right here. I kind of felt some of this before I messed up my oblique last year," and that robbed him of a month. And who knows how the Cardinals season might have fared differently if they would not have lost Carpenter during that time. And now you're seeing a little bit more mature Matt. I mean, he took it to him and said, "Look, something's wrong." He was willing to sit out. He was willing to not go to the World Baseball Classic. And I know not everybody's in on the WBC, but you got to understand Matt Carpenter is a guy who had never played for Team USA. He had never had the privilege of wearing that across his chest, and he really wanted to go, but he had to kind of rescind his invitation because he didn't feel like he could give it 100%. He felt like it would make him worse for this season. So that's an important stage in Matt Carpenter's development. But also, you know, now that he's back and 100%, Matt Adams is realizing there's not going to be much time. So when the Cardinals said, "Hey, would you even consider this?" he said, "Absolutely, sign me up."
You know, you mentioned that people were going crazy because Adams is taking balls in the outfield. I saw quite a bit of that on social media. I called it city rezoning plan. But as a first baseman, because I don't think Adams gets appreciated enough. I mentioned he's a really good pinch hitter. And I think at first base, he's decent defensively. I don't think he gets the credit that he's due.
No, I actually agree with you on that. His body type, I think, makes people make assumptions that if they don't actually watch him play there. I thought last year he was probably, you know, their best defensive first baseman. He has a good first step, and he kind of has a surprising bit of range to him. You know, so I agree with that. I also think that, you know, with Carpenter being there and being told, "Look, you're going to be the guy," he's so important to have in the lineup, especially now. I mean, he always has been. Now he's kind of trying to solidify the number three spot since Holiday left. So you're going to want Matt Carpenter in there. You know, so, and if that's going to be his primary home, then it doesn't really matter how good of a defensive first baseman Matt Adams is. He's not going to play very much if that's the only place that he can play, other than, you know, pinch hit opportunities. So I think, you know, some of the same things that helped him, you know, even become an option for the outfield will make him even better first baseman. But he has talked about how he just feels better. Everything about him, you know, he just feels like he's healthier. He's not claiming to be a speed demon, but he feels faster, he feels lighter, more athletic, more flexible. All those things will help him, because on top of all of it, he feels just as powerful. You know, he hasn't lost any of that strength, despite shedding some weight that he was lugging around.
Not all has gone perfect down in spring training. Wainwright really got lit up his last time out, and I think Wong really hasn't hit anything. You sense any level of concern with Mike Matheny about those two?
Yeah, well, not much, but you're right. Wainwright looked he looked like worse than Doug out there against
yeah.
the.
He didn't have to go there.
Wow, wow.
I like it.
It was bad, and he just couldn't get a feel for his pitches. They were not breaking at all. They were not coming down. They weren't sinking. They were just getting hammered. And then he was mixing in some walks and some wild pitches. He had pitched better before that outing, and that's what he said after the game. He didn't just throw the start away. He said, "Look, I'm going to examine it. I'm going to try to figure out what was wrong." He mentioned some of the hand placement on his pitches might have been a little bit off. But it's an interesting scenario now, because Wainwright will have another start. And also Carlos Martinez will be back in camp today. So, you know, I think a lot of people, the big question that one of the ones we're waiting on every spring at this time is who's going to be the opening day starter. And that comes with, you know, that comes with some meaning, and it's not something just to roll your eyes at about who gets that opportunity. So Carlos has pitched great in the World Baseball Classic. They're going to try to, I think, want to get him a start once he gets back. Once they see him throw, they're going to try to get him in here. And if he looks great and Wainwright struggles again, then that might make that decision a little more difficult. You talk to 10 different people about what they think Matheny will do with that, and you'll get five answers one way, five answers the next. It's kind of a fascinating – it's going to be fascinating when he makes his decision and explains it. I would think, you know, if I were doing it, I would think Carlos Martinez has earned that opportunity. But a lot of people seem to think that Mike is going to go with Adam no matter what.
Ben Fredrickson is our guest right now live from Cardinal Spring Training. The Redbird Report is brought to you by Dirt Cheap. Gear up for basketball madness. With the Sweet 16, download the new Dirt Cheap app and get a free can koozie. Ben will be with us throughout the year and filling in for the Cat when he is on the road. And you also have been monitoring the situation in Columbia, Missouri with the Porters. I saw you tweet that out last night. What are you hearing regarding that situation with Martin's press conference here just 7 hours away?
Yeah, so Cuns will be introduced today. I knew he was not. He just recently traveled. I think he landed in Columbia last night, right? So I made some calls kind of while I'm down here to try to see what's going on, because I'd read some headlines that said, hey, you know, it's done deal, Porters to Mizzou. I think that's still a chance. I also think those are premature. I know the two have met, Gonzo and Michael Porter Sr., and had a good discussion. I think that's where things stand right now in terms of how close there would be to getting, you know, a spot where they add him to the staff. But I certainly know that Gonzo has been recruiting. He has been, you know, looking into targets and ripping and running since he got the job. He just has not been in Columbia to do it. I had a couple people say, hey, you know, why isn't he at the Missouri State basketball high school tournament? And he wasn't even in town yet. And now I think once he gets settled in, you're going to see a lot of him. I also think Mizzou has been pretty hopeful that they can keep him under wraps until his big official unveiling at Columbia today. So it's finally here. It's happening. They got everything sorted out, and it'll be interesting to see if he wins the press conference. But he's not the most, he's certainly not a carnival barker type coach. He's not going to go grab the pom poms and go rah rah. But I think he'll, you know, hopefully give a message of, look, this is where I'm from, and this is my story, and this is how we're going to win here, and these are the staples of my program. So I'm interested to see how the fan base responds to his first comments as the new coach.
Ben Fredrickson, our guest here. You can read him on stltoday.com. Ben, appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good
time. All right, thank you, Fredzie.
Here on the Ryan Kelly Morning Live from Jupiter, Florida, with his Redbird Report.
He's good. He's a welcome addition to the show. Ben Fred, amen. Solid. Mm-hmm.
Rock solid, I say.
I saw where Jonte Porter tweeted over the weekend that he was reopening his recruitment. He had committed to Washington, leading even more speculation that he was heading to Missouri. But I think every program in the country wants both Jonte Porter and Michael Porter Jr.
Hey, Doug, there's some news just coming out. Two things, really, actually. Well, three things, I should say.
It's growing, even as you mentioned. Start to talk.
Yeah, you say, oh, here's some news. Now there's three
or four things.
First off, most importantly, Matt Kevin wants to meet regarding the podcast he wants to do on the fan page.
All right, that's a good development. Why don't you have lunch with him?
We will have lunch. Okay. We're supposed to play golf tomorrow. Me, Matt Kevin, Matthew Ehrenreich, and Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man. Doug, we can make it a fivesome if you want to go out there and we can play
busy.
Ruth.
I'm busy. I haven't got a thing to do, but boy, am I busy that day or whatever day they're playing.
Second,
yeah.
Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey.
You find it?
They have been recovered.
Great. Where was it? Where?
The jerseys were found with a credentialed international media member. Houston police reporting per Darren Revelle on the Twitter tweets, Tom Brady jerseys from both Super Bowl 49 and 51 were found in Mexico. The NFL says he was a credentialed media member.
This is why you have to build a wall. Those jerseys wouldn't escape.
I mean, don't you think he probably was on a flight, though?
No. I think he went probably
through those
swam
tunnels.
Across
through those tunnels.
Or he swam across the Rio Grande. So do they have the person who got it, or did they just... They found him for sale somewhere?
All I have is what Darren Revelle tweeted out. But I didn't know that the Super Bowl 49 jersey was missing.
No, I didn't either. So somebody with quick hands,
I guess so,
goes into those locker rooms and steals the jersey, puts it under his coat or
God,
something, and walks out.
That is unreal.
Well, is it really unreal? Would you put anything past people nowadays?
I just the
if it's not nailed
balls,
down, people will steal it.
I mean, to do that, I'm not talking about because it's Tom Brady's jersey. Just being in locker rooms, it's not like you're alone in there,
right? So you think maybe it's an inside job?
Well, I mean, I hadn't thought about that. But now that you say that.
Anybody else would look pretty suspicious walking
around
the locker room with a jersey.
I just don't know how he takes it off, and then so when he's taking it off, that's a time when there's a bunch of people around,
Unless they do it in some side room, and some reporter's like, all right, I'll be right there. Nothing going on here. Just going over my notes.
Come on in and pull yourself on up.
I don't know.
A cherry.
All the times I was in the Rams locker room, I don't know that I could have ever gotten away with taking someone's jersey and walking out of the room.
That's what I'm saying.
When everybody's celebrating, I mean, I won't call this guy out. I'm not going to mention his name.
Oh, you know who it was?
No. But kind of the same story. When people are celebrating, a lot of things go on. This guy had never covered a World Series before. And I had been in the locker room for a few celebrations, so I said, "I'll tell you what, I'll do the press conferences. You do the locker room." And after like an hour and a half, I go in there after doing the stuff in the conference press conference, and I said, "You get a lot of sound." He goes, "Oh, everybody was so busy partying." But he opens his bag, goes, "I got a couple of champagne bottles and some towels." Like, what the hell are you doing? You can't be taking that. So my point is, when everybody's celebrating, you can just kind of walk around and pick something up. But a Brady jersey, you think they would have guarded a little bit more than some champagne bottles and towels.
Champagne bottle is one thing. I don't think anybody's going to get
too
worked
up. But you still can't take that.
No, you shouldn't take it, but that's not taking someone's personal property.
But I'm saying,
it is. It's the team's property.
If it's an empty bottle or it's a full bottle of champagne.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't belong to you.
It's wrong, I know. But
so when all the players are celebrating and people are hugging and photographers and guys are trying to get the players, and you just kind of walk around, a jersey. Let's throw this in here.
And I'm in there high-fiving guys. That's what I do.
You high-five with one hand, the left hand goes for the jersey.
As a rights holder.
Yeah. Man. I assume they have cameras in those locker rooms, don't they? I've been in some locker rooms after celebrations where they'll put a bunch of club employees at each corner standing on a chair or something looking, making sure people don't steal things. I've seen that.
Didn't Big Al get into the Cardinals celebration? I mean, no, I'm not calling out Big Al. I love him, but I mean, maybe things are a little lax when you don't think they are. I mean, Big Al is in there celebrating. Hardly a credentialed media.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the final piece of news comes from Jason Barrett.
They got a list to put together?
The Detroit Free Press wrote a great piece on 97.1 The Ticket morning host Mike Stone.
Stonesy.
The article takes a look at Stone's authenticity and transparency with local listeners and the way he's approached his craft.
It's not a craft.
Five,
it's a guy
four,
talking, all right?
Three, two, one.
Let's not get not pat ourselves on the back too much. It's hardly a craft.
The column is, of course, Under the Radar, and it's just news and notes from around sports talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that published, so it's not really under the radar?
I think it's the fact that somebody somewhere in this business actually wrote something, and so we're going to do a whole article about it. Look at this guy. He wrote things, actually capable of writing something. The others get done with their shift, and they go home. They go about their day. Enough jibber-jabber.
Doug with Zach By off to Denver to host Middays with Brandon Stokely on 104.3 The Fan. Chris Onorato will get an opportunity to produce.
About damn time. What does this guy have to do to get his shot?
With Roger Weiland for 104.5 The Team in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Because he's been deserving a shot. He's been on our radar.
He's
not under.
Yeah, he's a kid.
But he's not under the radar. He's been on our radar.
Yeah.
Onorato officially starts on March 23rd.
This is a producer at an Austin, Texas.
No. Bigger. Albany.
Albany, New York? There's an Albany, Texas? Albany, New York?
Albany, New York is not a tremendous market.
How many people wake up on their day and say, geez, I wonder who got that big producer's gig on the radio station in Albany, New York? Anybody? Anyone?
Arado's parents, probably.
His parents wanted him to do something else. He said, no, I like sports. I want to do something. No, sorry, you're going into accounting where there's real money, real job. No, but I like sports. Well, you're not good enough. You're not going to be on the air. You're not going to probably make any money. I'll be a producer in a small market. I'll make $12,000. No, go for the accounting program. This is a conversation he had with his parents.
But I'll say I love what I do in this small market, and then after 3 or 4 weeks, I'll start complaining about everything.
And drop shade on social media. Doug, also, Northwestern University journalism major Timmy Hackett.
Atkins?
No. Adzi?
What's up with him?
Hackett.
Oh, Hackey, yeah.
Has been named the new radio voice of the Wisconsin Woodchucks.
What do they play? When you don't even know what they play, it's not that big a job.
The summer league baseball team begins play in late May.
So he's got a job from May to about August, and that's going to do it. He went to college for that, to call Class A baseball. I know everyone's got to start somewhere, but I don't know that it warrants some sort of website report about it.
It's really sad because all of this is on All Access, and you put it in there yourself.
He's just
you
he's
email
just
All Access and say such and such just got a job, and then they put it in their thing, and all of this is now. I didn't see it, Timmy, but somebody posted it that you know, Caesar had the column Friday that Barrett turned around and took it and pasted it like it was a press release and released it himself.
Yeah, I did see that because I think somebody posted it on the fan pin, and it was just, he credited STL Today at the beginning, but then you just essentially. Cut and paste. I don't know why he doesn't reach out to me. You know, I'd answer whatever questions he has.
Because that would mean he would have to write it himself and not just take it off another website and post it.
Why don't you get with him and discuss this this hot take bell disappearance? That's
a story. That's a story.
Sure it is.
When you combine that with the mess that was left in the restroom
the
a few
pooper.
Weeks ago, yeah. And now that's something that should be on his website.
When will I get tired of that drop, Doug?
It
makes
me
giggle
clearly,
like a schoolgirl.
Yeah. You're not tired of it yet, that's for sure.
Kind of a fun story here. According to the New York Daily News, WFAN is reducing expenses by trimming the travel budgets of Sweeney, Murdy, and Ed Coleman.
Well, why are they traveling anywhere? Don't they just sit and talk for 2-3 hours a day? Why do you need to travel?
They're the lead reporters for the Yankees and Mets, and they've traditionally accompanied the team on all the road trips. That'll change this season.
They got a radio station that travels with their teams.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, exactly. That's the city so nice, they named it twice.
Do we have that here?
No.
Who would get that gig if we had it here?
Brendan Schaefer.
Okay. It's a nice job for him. You just go wherever the Cardinals do some pre- and post-game interviews, and maybe steal a jersey or two, and that's it.
That's right.
And not as tough as what you do.
No.
Putting 3 15-second VOs together.
Oh, but those are well-thought-out VOs. Oh, my. Yeah, you can't just VO anything.
What was your favorite story on Under the Radar? Honorado getting the opportunity to produce
in
Albany?
I think so. I've really been pulling for that kid. Because he's been in this fight with his parents for a couple years. Accounting, no. Broadcasting. Go accounting, no. Broadcasting. Well, I'll tell you what, we're not paying for broadcasting. That's on you.
We're the Otsy haters now.
Yeah, and he said, okay. He said, okay, I'll do it. And yet he still didn't pay. The bill still came to the parents, and they still buckled under, and they paid for it to this degree.
But now he'll pay them back because he's got this nice
he'll
gig.
He'll never be able to pay them back, ever. He'll be long gone before he ever gets a gig that pays anything.
You don't even know what they pay in Albany for producers. It's a lot.
Yeah. I'd say 14.5.
Last I heard.
God, I think I honestly would ship the under on that.
I'm going to say 150K.
Yeah, cost of living adjustment upstate New York.
That's the capital of the whole state, Doug.
That's where I flew into when I went to the Wall of Fame. Is that where you fly into? Is that the moon?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, I guess you could fly in Buffalo?
Can't you fly into Binghamton?
You can fly into Binghamton?
You can fly into Binghamton.
Really?
I think you can.
Let's see. Let me get to that.
Yeah. Got a flight schedule there.
That's where Happy Hollenbeck lives. So if you ever fly into Binghamton. No, T-Slow is from Syracuse.
Well, if you're booking flights and you don't have enough money to pay for it, you might get yourself in a lot of credit card debt. Did you know the average American household has more than $16,000 in credit card debt? And over 70% of households have the equity right there in their home to get rid of it all right now. With a cash-out refinance with the Home Loan Expert team, you can get those credit cards paid off once and for all.
You see, you did the Bataan Death March this weekend?
I did. I saw some pictures on that. Yeah, it's amazing.
Ryan Kellyman, I'm telling you.
So you need to stop paying 18, 20% to pay off your credit card debt, refinance your house, get rid of the credit card debt, and then pay like 3% on your mortgage. And you need to get in there because rates are going up. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why you want to go anywhere else, man? Call Ryan at 314-781-9700. Call Ryan at 314-781-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
That'd be my suggestion. 9700?
Yep.
So you're saying you want to build up as much credit card debt as you can.
You want to get rid of it.
No, opposite. Get rid of it.
The opposite is true. You want to get rid of it.
Yeah, but if you build it up, then you can refi
no,
and
you
pay
want,
it.
You want to get rid of it, the debt, if you can. And then you have more time for batting practice.
I see what you're doing, but I still want to ask you what happens if I want to buy a cigarette boat for the lake this year.
Well, then you go ahead and you put that on your credit card.
Okay.
And maybe you'll never have to make the payments because you'll crash or something. I don't know.
Good segue into
it's more boat than
this.
You can handle.
314 Sports.
Yeah, this is one of our new sponsors, Tim. 314 Sports is a state-of-the-art training center for baseball and softball. It's also a tournament company and the home of the St. Louis Redbirds Baseball Club. 314 Training Academy is a 15,000-square-foot indoor facility off Strassner Drive there in Brentwood, featuring state-of-the-art HitTrax baseball simulator that tracks hitters' exit velocity, distance, and shows progress over time. The HitTrax measures real-time data and displays live results for immediate feedback. I was in there the other day and saw how that worked. They had a Little League team in there, and they would hit it, and then they can watch a big monitor like they had Busch Stadium there, and they can see where the ball would have gone in Busch Stadium if they hit the ball just like they did. The kids love it, and it's a fantastic function for baseball players. Major leaguers down to little leaguers can benefit from the amazing technology of the HitTrax. Visit 314sports.com and learn more about getting your youth players ready for the season. They have cage rentals, individual lessons, small group training, team practices, or even a birthday party. It's great for a birthday party. It's all available right there at 314 Training Academy in Brentwood. Call them at 314-963-1110 or visit 314sports.com.
Think about it.
Might have to take Tyler there.
Oh, you really should. It's a great place.
Doug, JMH Law Firm and attorney Joe Harvath, providing passionate and aggressive criminal representation at reasonable rates. Another new sponsor. If you've been charged with a felony, misdemeanor, or traffic offense, you better go to needalawyerstl.com. Traffic ticket? DUI? Personal injury? You better go to needalawyerstl.com. Drug possession or even murder?
Yeah. Got to put that in with our audience.
You better go to
Needle
Lawyer.
If you whacked anybody this weekend, listen up. This commercial's for you.
You better go to NeedALawyerSTL.com. Got caught stealing breakfast from a hotel you aren't staying at. You better go to NeedALawyerSTL.com. If you drove your whip without a license or if you broke into a house for a midday recreational, you better go to NeedALawyerSTL.com.
This should probably be the title sponsor of the show. This is probably a commercial that needs to run throughout the three-hour period.
Or call 314-827-6222. 314-827-6222 for JMH Law and attorney Joe Harvath with offices in St. Charles and Webster Groves. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisement. Let's see. And then Matt Kevin back. This is the first part of my news. He says, can you also check really quick to make sure Iggy doesn't want to be a guest on the podcast? Doug, this podcast about the fan page is starting to occupy a lot of my time.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's productive either. Iggy, you going to be on there?
No. Thank you for the offer.
No.
Thank you for the offer, though. It's nice of you.
You're going to have your own podcast. You might be doing the Smoker's Lounge with Jennings and Plowhawk. I don't know because Jennings has a full-time job. But I really, what do you guys think of the wrap-up show thing? I mean, again, totally ripping off Stern. Do you like it?
I'll do whatever you ask me to do. But I always like doing stuff.
The Lemon Gong is presented by Danny Schwartz Insurance Agency.
I always like doing things with Plowsy, so it'll be fun.
Plowhog.
I think it'd be cool to do it in my car.
In your car?
Well, I'd rather not do it in your car.
Oh, yeah, true.
Is that so you can smoke while you're doing it?
Of course. But yeah, I'm excited. I love Buck Swope and Iggy. And
I don't know if Swope will be in. I think Swope has a job, but Doug doesn't think he does.
He does have a job. I don't know what. He's a smart guy.
Yeah, well.
He's smart. Not like people says.
Not like
that
us.
Dumb.
Why do you? What do you have against Buck Swope?
Shutter Spook. Takes a lot of pictures. Awful lot of pictures.
Well, he likes the camera.
That's right.
Wears a master screen jacket.
I like that.
The time.
Do you have a problem with guys wearing green jackets?
Well, unless you won the Masters. I mean, if Ray Floyd's out there taking my picture with a green jacket, I'll say fine.
What is it, 3 weeks away? 2 weeks?
2 weeks from Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe Tiger, maybe not.
I lost money on my 40 DraftKings teams I entered. Not profitable.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Considering 10 of them was missing a player.
Yeah, Danny Willett. That was bad right out of the gate.
Yeah.
So I think I won $70, but I invested $200, so minus $130 on the investment.
Yeah. Not good.
Fortunately, I'm betting on everything Biff sends my way. God in heaven. I hope he gets to keep that condo if all this money goes to Randy Choate out in Las Vegas. Because I like doing roads from there.
Keep an eye on that Tommy Fleetwood. He's been playing well lately.
Doug Tommy Fleetwood.
And I think he's down around a 3-level price.
Dougie's a 3-level price.
What does that
price.
Mean?
I never heard of that.
I haven't either, but I'm playing along.
It's a 3-level price.
You have three different tiers. You have guys that are in your...
The Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth category.
Yeah, like the $9,000, $10,000, $12,000, and guys around $5,000, $6,000, and guys around $4,000, $3,000.
Oh, you must be on FanDuel. I'm in DraftKings.
I'm just kind of...
Dougie's giving
you
examples.
If you have $50,000 to play with for six golfers.
And you like the way Fleetsy's handling the flat stick.
Yeah, he's playing well.
We have both Sully and Biff on the line here all of a sudden. What's going on? Let's see if I can get them both on. Sully, Biff, you there?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah. Try to talk at the same time if you could.
Biff, I did not take the Blackhawks minus 400 last night. I felt like that was a risk-reward analysis that didn't justify the squeeze.
What? We got to have some balls, Tim.
Clip that off.
Mm. That's telling him, Biff.
That was going to be my comment. Biff has balls.
Mm. Two of them, I assume.
Hey, Tim, you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Doug's just talking about his testicles.
See, but it went better. Then once I saw Chicago was winning, I took Brian Elliott and the Flames, and they won too. So that's 2 for 2 yesterday. But 7 for 7 on Saturday, so I'm 9 for 9 in my last 9 picks.
This guy is on fire.
Well, I guess.
How much money did you win on those?
Yeah, what do you got going on, Biff? The IRS is 9,000?
No, 5 per play, so that'd be $4,500
bucks.
Want to buy a radio station?
No, you want to invest?
Maybe FM, not that AM.
Okay, yeah. Stop right, riding
smart.
Us.
Well, those are usually around 10 figures.
Hannah from Hot Shots said to tell you hi, Tim.
Doug, Hannah from Hot Shots is a big fan.
How do you know Hannah?
I guess she was a girl next door, is that right?
She won the bikini contest at Hot Shots. She's a bartender there.
I've never really held a bikini. Do we hold a bikini?
She's a fan of Tim. She likes Tim.
She doesn't ever.
Is that your new girlfriend?
I don't know. I wouldn't call her that. I just hang out with her, you know.
That's an Tony Lee, and I think Bonnie Rotten. And
Seamaster somehow remembers this.
Yeah, and that was a good-looking blonde. And without getting into detail, and Biff, don't say anything.
I might not remember it.
Other than, does she have another job besides Hot Shots?
Yeah.
Okay. Answers that question.
Well, what are you insinuating?
I don't know what's going on anymore with my life. I just don't know.
I don't either. What are you insinuating?
She just has another job.
Get up in the middle of the night and I got a wee and then I can't fall back asleep.
She's
I don't know
a
what's going
painter.
On.
She paints outside
She's
of Hot Shots.
Painter, yeah. Okay. House painter.
Brian's Paint, sponsor of Swope's Pins.
Yeah.
Do you have a play tonight? And Biff, here's the thing. Here's what I'm worried about. And I said this earlier on in the show. Like, if you or Sully go here, like when you did with Edmonton on Saturday night, and you go, this, if I were in Las Vegas, I'd unload the bankroll on Edmonton playing, I think it was Vancouver, wasn't it?
They won, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I'm like, okay, that's a play. But when you send me like 8 games, I feel like we're asking for trouble.
So that's where I am strategically. Now, I did bet Edmonton a lot because they were minus 300.
And I told you the Blues, and the Blues won.
And you told me the Blackhawks, and I hit a three-game parlay, and I was able to withdraw $1,000 yesterday. So I appreciate what's doing, but I feel like when you're betting eight games, it might be high risk. Might be degenerate a little bit.
Well, see, what you got to do is you got to take every play all week, and you'll come out ahead, Tim.
Wow, look at this guy, Doug.
Yeah, you can't just pick and choose now. Play them all.
Hey, this is Sully here.
Oh, hello, Sully.
Hey, Sully, how are you?
Hey, I told Biff yesterday on the Blackhawks, I said that this is the best game I've ever graded out in my system, and unless the plane crashes on the way to the game and Colorado only shows up with half their players, that would be the only way that the Blackhawks could look any better than what happens. They're down 3-1 halfway in the third period to the worst team in the league. But how Kroenke's teams, how he teaches them to finish out games, they proceed to give up five goals in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it was five goals on like seven shots. And Blackhawks won the game 6-3.
Nice. You sound like you're speaking to us at an empty parking garage somewhere.
He's probably painting.
Trying to hide your idea. Oh, you're painting today, Sully?
No, I'm at a construction site. It's in an empty room.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Yeah, I got to tell you that I never seen a game like that. I was sitting at Hot Shot Center and
were you with Hannah? Were you with Hannah?
Yeah, she was bartending. Yeah, and again, she was showing cleavage because she was talking about Tim.
Let me ask you this: does she have another job?
Yes.
Okay. And
he whispers the answer to that question.
Minus 400 game.
Yes, that's the one that I had to face. Now, how much did you bet on that? I mean, I guess you bet 2,000 if you're playing for $500, right?
Yeah, I put up 2 to win 5, and like Sully said, they were losing the game, and there was only like they're losing like 3-1 with only like freaking 6 minutes left to go, and I was like, oh my god, and there's no way. And then all of a sudden, from God from heaven, they shoot up five goals in like 4 minutes, and they win 6-3. I never seen that many goals scored that fast.
Was Hot Shots a pony then?
It's a pony. They got good pizza, too.
Yeah, the food's good there.
Hey, Biff, hey, Sully, we got to run. We have that Hot Shots email of the day, and I don't want to let down the sponsors, especially with you supporting them so well, Biff.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, real quick. Pending if Nashville, Pekka Rinne starts Nashville's play of the night.
Nashville's play of the night? Is this Sully?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it seemed like it came a little
Nashville.
Quicker.
Edmonton looks pretty good, too, but it's pending starting goalies, of course.
Doug, keep an eye on Pekka Rinne.
All right.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Hey, at the new place, Tim, where you're moving into the new station, are you going to have a transgender bathroom there?
Good question.
Kind of a nice throwaway question at the end. I don't think so.
There goes the NCAA tournament.
We won't be able to have the tournament.
If not, how's Doug going to go to the bathroom?
Put him down!
Wow.
Put him down!
Material. Guy's giving me picks, though. I got to give him time.
The Preds are the play of the night. If
it's been released.
If Pekka Rinne is between the pipes.
Who are they playing? Nurse?
Well, they'll play a team that'll be ready. That's for sure.
You make me laugh.
Time for Hot Shots Email of the Day. Hey, guys. Is Tom from Salt and Smoke using that same Home Alone ad, the equivalent of a power hoosier, keeping his Christmas lights up 3 months after December 25th? Just wondering. I'm not taking a shot. Personally, I keep my Christmas lights up until Father's Day, and then I ask my dad to take them down. Thanks. That's from the Dogtown Astro Van.
Dogtown Astro Van.
I have discussed that with Tom. We actually discussed it while breaking bread in Florida. And he says there's a lot of pressure on him for the next one, and so he hasn't done anything yet.
He can do whatever he wants. His brisket is the best.
Hey, Doug, quick question. And before we get into this, I want you to know that no matter how you answer, it doesn't necessarily make you gay. Who do you think would be the better and more rewarding lover? The white-collar gangster, Misty Plops. Hear me out. Now, from looking at Misty Plops' Twitter avatar, he's about a 6-year-old man, but he has breathtaking breast implants. Now, I know what you're thinking. A 6-year-old man with fake lady bubbles isn't that hot. Oh, Doug, but it is. If you turn off the lights and ask him nicely not to rub his mustache on you, you might not even know that it's a he-she that has skin that feels like a catcher's mitt from the late 70s that has been left out in the rain overnight. Now, white-collar gangster. He's cute, young, spry, and cute.
What he Don't say cute twice.
I read what's in the prompter. What he lacks in muscle tone and email the day wins, he makes up for in pure, unadulterated sexuality. I bet his hands, while tiny and timid, would feel soft and forgiving when he does that move on you like he's trying to ooze the last bit of toothpaste out of the tube and finishes with that tongue thing like you're eating a thing of yogurt with no spoon.
All right.
Only knock on him is that he has a girlfriend. Icky. I bet it's just a ruse, though. So, what say you, Doug?
Yeah.
Please advise KG and O-Town.
Buh, tied for first.
Good evening.
I'm in the KG and O-Town.
I'm in the market to trade a mint condition first edition Throbby Robbie rookie card from 2010. Card has been in a sealed glass case for the entire life and has a retail value of $3,460. I'm willing to accept a cash offer, but would prefer a 2015 first edition Dotem French fry hat card. Card must be mint and sealed. A signature would bring some cash back with the trade. Give me a call at 1-888-CARD-SHARK-DADDY. Again, 1-888-CARD-SHARK-DADDY. Looking forward, Fuelzy. Guys, Plops here. Doug, thanks for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us through the story of your Coke addiction, your diet Coke addiction, you old white Crestwood man. So the new header picture is amazing. I haven't seen a pink turtleneck like that since the last time I pulled my thang out me pants. Guess he's uncut?
Oh.
The cat with his yellow boots and baggy jeans looks like he's headed off to do some vocals on Missy Elliott's new album, Darren. I like when somebody calls the Plowhawk Darren. Darren looks like he should be in the basket on the front of Elliott's bicycle. I don't get the E.T. reference, but I like it. Flying to the air in 1982. And finally, Doug looks exactly like a man who would be on an AM radio show saying, I wish I still had my American League baseball cards. Thanks. Great show.
Yep.
Misty Plops.
Misty Plops, Assistant Program Director.
Elliot Davis here. I'm at Stonewee Golf Club covering what's been called the shame of the region, the disappearance of sand from area courses. Rumor has it local resident Marcus Allen has been paying off groundskeepers to smuggle material to his estate to build a sand volleyball court. Here comes the head groundskeeper now, Jason Barrett. Excuse me, Jason. Good to see you're employed considering your sports media podcast failed miserably. Are you taking the truck full of sand to Marcus Allen's? No comment, Elliot. Is it true when Marcus Allen is ready for a shipment, he signals the grounds crew by hanging an onion ring from the lever of the clubhouse toilet? Can't answer that, Elliot. I have to go. There you have it. If you're a golfer in the Metro East finding it harder to chip out of dirt than sand, you should be angry. After all, you paid for it. Doug, that comes from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Guys, I know exactly what happened with this onion ring situation. Whenever I feel like deucing in a urinal, I like sitting reverse cowgirl, and sometimes I get hungry.
No.
I'm human. Sue me. Anyhow, onion rings fit perfectly on that stick handle, and that way you have one hand for tucking and another for holding on to your dippies and zoppies. That's why I eat donuts for breakfast and always get the chicken rings at the Castle of White. Anyway, I'm assuming this particular fella either had eyes bigger than his stomach or ran out of his favorite soppin' and left a ring for the next gentleman.
Nice gesture.
It's also why I bring barbecue sauce or spicy catsup into public bathrooms. Happy Monday. That's from Matt, who bowls at Hank's. P.S. Iggy, stop trying to pay for services rendered with free meals at your boss's restaurant. Just pay Pedro Pro Dan his $20, pull up your skirt, and go hit your 5-wood.
Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to get a... What's going on with this Kirkwood Brewhouse, Dan, PJ Pro Dan?
I was just trying to find a way to meet up and pay him what I owe for the regripping, and I was going to buy him lunch. I wasn't looking for a free lunch. I was going to buy him lunch and pay him for what he did. That's all.
Doug, that's an explanation.
All right, nice.
Good morning, gentlemen. My text inbox name has been changed, and I'm not happy about it. God bless America.
How would he know that it's changed?
From Beef Momo to the Angry Illinois Texter. Oh. The only angry thing I've texted in was to say the midday grind, saying they don't have commercial breaks. Enough commercial breaks. Given this information, I think we can narrow down who the angry producer is. Is that a shot at Gardner?
I can't picture Gardner. But then again, I can't picture any of these guys.
Gardner doesn't get angry.
Regards, Beef Momo. P.S. Doug, will you sit on my face?
No. Beef Momo just got suspended. Right there at the end, he did. Beef Momo, 2 days' time. Llewellyn's.
Finally, sup, guys. This is the champ is here. The champ is here. So after penning one of the greatest emails ever heard on this here program, I had a very eventful weekend. To begin with, I had the least productive Friday in company history after Plowsy sent me into the winner's circle. I started drinking immediately and didn't even stop until I fell asleep at 2 p.m. on Saturday, that is. From there, my parents drained their entire life savings, shutting down Market Street for my parade. They were the only ones that came along with Doug. I came through once before the parade and once after it on Doug's chest.
No.
Well, here's my next three-year drought. See all of you email queers in 2020. White-collar gangster. He's a defending champion.
Ineligible. He's ineligible. He just got suspended.
That's what we have with that chat. Email it. What you get?
I wrote down a few. I thought they were all kind of equal. I'm going to go Fuelzy. Fuelzy.
I had Fuelzy check, but I guess I'm going to have to go with a fellow by the name of Misty Plops.
Wow. I'm going Mad Who Bowls at Hank, so I go to the Speaker of the House.
I'll go Misty Plops.
Wow. Plops broken away here.
How about that?
What happened to my control of Congress? Misty Plops wins again. Sixth email win for the month of March. Time for us to shut it down. It's a Lion's Choice. Famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank is back, and he will join you next here on 590 The Fan. For the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Seamaster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McCurdy. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Beauty. GMC Studios.